This One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. I want to share with you a little bit more today about some revelation that the Lord has given me, some light on Psalm 73. The first thing I do almost every morning is spend time with the Lord, reading His Word, meditating, praying, and much of my prayer is two-way. It's a two-way conversation. It's communion with God. I want to share what happened on the 20th of December, 2011. As I awoke, I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Read Psalm 73. I want to speak to you today out of Psalm 73. Now, before I tell you what he spoke to me, I'm writing an article on this for the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. I'm still working with the title back and forth, but one of the titles I'm considering is, "Why Do the Wicked Prosper?" Or, "What to Do When You See the Wicked Prospering?" And that was the case of this psalmist. So I read the psalm, and of course, when God's going to speak to me out of the psalms, I like to go to the original language, which is the Hebrew. And I'm not good enough, proficient enough on Hebrew to read it just straight. So I have translations where on one page is the Hebrew to the right, and to the left is English. So it begins, and I went right away to my bookshelf, and I got down my Tehillim. Tehillim means praises, and that's what the psalms are. They're psalms of praise. And the Tehillim is produced by the Art Scroll Tanakh series, and it is a translation from the original Hebrew right into the English. And there's nobody better at translating from the Hebrew to the English than the Jews. They've been doing it for thousands of years. They've been speaking Hebrew. And even though for some time it wasn't a spoken street language, it was always the language of study. The Bible was always studied in the Hebrew. And so I began reading this psalm. And it begins in their translation. I hope you have your Bibles and will have them this week. It begins in verse 1. Their translation says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to the pure of heart." And their comment is that that word that they did translate truly actually means only. So the statement is, only God is good to Israel, or we might say, God is only good to Israel. He is only good to the pure of heart. In other words, this word signifies without any doubt or reservation that only this fact is true. In other words, God is never going to be anything but good to you. He's good to Israel. He's good to the pure of heart. Well, that's good. That's a good start. God said, "I want to speak to you today out of Psalm 73. I open it up, and the first statement is a good, positive statement. But after that, it seemingly goes downhill. And there's verse after verse after verse after verse talking about the wicked. And I thought to myself, did I hear right? Is this what God is saying to me? Have I missed it? So we're going to go on through the psalm, and it talks about the wicked and how this psalmist sees them prospering all around. It looks like the wicked are having their way in everything, but we'll take it right from the psalm, and I'm going to be reading to you from the Hebrew into English translation. "But as for me, my feet were nearly turned astray. Like nothing, my steps would have been washed aside, for I envied the madmen when I saw the peace of the wicked." But way back there in your thoughts somewhere, you've probably had a thought. Well, now I know if I get out from undercover here of the Lord, and under cover of the blood, and if I give a place to the devil, something's liable bad to happen to me. And then you think, but look at old so-and-so over there. He never has anything. He's the richest man in town, and he's the meanest old coot you ever saw. Or That politician, how can he keep going on and on and making decisions which affect America adversely, and seemingly everything he puts his hand to prospers? So that's the case of the psalmist, as he writes. But as for me, my feet were nearly turned astray, like nothing. My steps would have been washed aside, for I envied the madmen when I saw the peace of the wicked. And peace means wholeness. In other words, they're wealthy, they're healthy. It seems that there's a wholeness about them, not a brokenness. So in the Hebrew translation that I have here, it gives a reason why that is translated madmen. For he said, I envied the madmen. It's because, and this is what Radak, the commentator, says, because of their mad obsession with futile worldly pleasures, these madmen have perverted their order of priorities. Their own personal gratification has taken precedence over all other considerations. Therefore, they think nothing of stealing or committing any other crime in order to satisfy their desires. They're called madmen. And then the psalmist goes on in verse 4, there are no fetters to their death, and their vitality is sound. In other words, not only do the wicked live their lives wantonly, unencumbered by limitations or restraints, but they even die unmolested. They remain healthy and comfortable until the moment of their death. Now, sometimes we'll see a saint, you know, and they'll have a difficult home going. And then you'll see someone else that is what you would consider, and you never saw any fruit of righteousness in their lives, and they die peacefully in their sleep. So that's what this psalmist is talking about that he's observing. There are no fetters to their death, and their vitality is sound. In the toil of frail humans, they are nowhere. They don't have to toil and work like others. And with mankind, they are not plagued. Seems like there are plagues, but the plagues don't strike them. Therefore, their necklace is pride, enwrapping their body in their own violence. Bulging from corpulence or fatness are their eyes. They went beyond the fantasies of the heart. Now, this is Billy Brim speaking. They had fantasies in the heart, and it seemed like all their dreams came true, and they even went beyond that. Back to the text. They consume and speak of foul oppression. Out of haughtiness they speak. They direct their mouth against heaven. They comment in the Tehillim. They hurl blasphemous abuse heavenward and deny the power of God. We've seen that. I see right now, you know, this is Billy Brim talking. I see on TV there's one comedian, and he's blasphemous to God, always making horrible, terrible jokes about him. I heard him say one time, I don't read my children Bible stories before they go to bed because I don't want them to have nightmares. He's known as an atheist. So you think, well, how long can this go on with that guy? Back to the text. They direct their mouth against heaven, and their tongue struts on the earth. The picture here is that the Talmud even says that they just spread evil tales. Their tongue struts through the earth. They lie. They drag along hopeless victims. The crimes perpetrated by their mouths grow and grow until their enormity reaches the highest heaven. They are slanderers. And there are people whose tongues speak. We think, oh my goodness, you have what you say. What about Mark 11:23? Well, it appears that they're saying terrible things, and they're having the fat of the land. In other words, this psalm says their eyes bulge with their fatness. Fatness in those days meant, things were added unto you. You were heavy with riches. And former believers, now the next verse, verse 11, this is seen by Rashi as meaning former believers, believers who've come to doubt because they look all around them and see the wicked prospering. Former believers, disillusioned observer, falls deeper and deeper into despair. He wonders, why should I struggle to purify my thoughts and actions? why should I do it when they go unpunished? So this is the picture here when the former believers or the disillusioned believers say, and they, the disillusioned believer, says, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Does he see what's happening here? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They accumulate wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart's pure hand. Excuse me, verse 13. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure and washed my hands in cleanliness. For I was plagued all day long and chastised every morning. Had I said, I will tell how it is, behold the generation of your children, I would have betrayed. And when I reflected to understand this, it was iniquity in my eyes until verse 17. You could put it in all capital letters. Until I entered into the sanctuaries of God, and then I understood their end. Folks, we live in a day when we look all around us and we see bad men prospering. We see evil things being done, wickedness prevailing. And there's only one place you can understand it. You can't understand it in your mind. The devil's going to throw thoughts in there. Why serve God? Look at you. Look at them. But when there is a place that's open to us, the sanctuary of God, the secret place of the Most High. We'll talk about that before the week's over and how we have an invitation to go there and what we can expect in that day, in this day, in that place. Well, while this broadcast is coming to you today, I'm in Houston, Texas. And there we're going to be beginning, I will be there at the end of the week. Today I'm here at Prayer Mountain, but at the end of the week, January 27, Friday, I will be in Houston, Texas at the Glorious Way Church, pastored by John and Gladys Greiner. With me in the services is Chip Brim, my son. Now, some of the folks that the Lord has told to be there in the services are Dr. Gary Wood. Remember, we had him on. He went to heaven and came back. And then Brother Gene Wiseman. Many people are going to this meeting because the Lord has spoken to us about it. They are celebrating an anniversary. But we are looking to a manifestation of the glory of God. Shalom. Trust to see you there if you can.